That's South Africa's Soweto String Quartet with Kofifi. Not the Kofifi that Donald Trump was talking about some months ago, but a genuine Kofifi. It is a reference to a place, a town, in which South Africa's jazz movement was born. It's from their 1998 album, Millennia. This is, excuse me, Lead Stories with a Frog in My Throat, and I'm Beatrice Lead, and it's Free Your Mind Friday, where the task is to bring your thoughts and your opinions and everything else that you think you would like to encourage people to react to and see what they have to say. You get to take the program where you want it to go, and that's the purpose of Free Your Mind Friday. We speak frankly, and not, of course, we respect each other, and we respect opinions, even if we disagree with them. That's how we roll on this program. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. And as concisely as you can get it, let's hear what you have to say. 888-874-4888. We covered a lot of ground this week. And, of course, outside of what we talked about on the program, there are so many things that we just can't possibly accommodate in any one program or even on a week's worth of programming. So maybe you have some things that you would like to introduce as issues or stories or developments that you think are worthy of further discussion and debate. 888-874-4888. It's Free Your Mind Friday. E from Edgewater, you are the first up.
Hi, Beatrice.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm hoping that your surgeries went well and your arm is healing up the proper way that the doctors feel it should be healing.
Well, thank you, but I had to do a little revisiting of the surgery to get some. There were some steel plates in there that were moving around a little too much. So they're stabilized now, and I'm okay. So what have you to say today?
Well, I'd like to continue where you left off yesterday with the Tawana Brawley case, if it's all right with you, and also say hello to the PRN audience and hope they're all doing well.
Well, thank you. What about the Tawana Brawley case, since we have people calling in now and we'll have to watch our time?
Okay. Before I start, I just wanted to know, have you been able to reach Walter Maddox? I know he lost his wife past, and I was wondering if he was doing well or not, if you had heard from him.
Yes, I'm told that he's, you know, like anything else, when you suffer such a devastating loss, it takes time to recoup. But he seems to be recouping and in good spirits as best as he can for the time being.
Okay, good, because I know he's a very strong individual, and I just was concerned because I know that would be a big shock to his system. I just hope everything is okay with him.
In his behalf, for your kind thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you. I was just wondering if you knew anything about the case. When it happened, when she was missing for the first day, did her parents, like, call the police and say that she was a missing person? Do you know anything about that?
Of course. I mean, all the things that would normally be done, and any concerned parents, they did. So the alarm went out quite early on the fact that she did not come home. And so that was done.
Okay. Because, I was on the computer last night watching all the videos I could possibly watch about the case, and it seems to be about 50-50 where they say it was a made-up story that she did, And then the other 50% says that it's really happened to her and there's no justice being served here. And, you know, this could happen in these towns, these racist towns where the mayor and the police officers and the judges, they're all blood relatives. And it's very hard to get any kind of justice when you have to deal with that kind of a system. But I think there was some big... Well,
you think I asked
a question on Wednesday about, you know, Charles Lattell was on, and he mentioned something about Al Sharpton's name came up, and he said he never could forgive Al Sharpton for what he did to Stephen Pagonis, and that's where it ended. I didn't know what he was referring to, but when he said that, I was wondering if you knew anything about what he meant.
Well, I haven't spoken to him about that comment, but, you know, that was his opinion. And I know the story because I broke it. And,
well, I thought he was referring to that costed the Tawana Brawley the case by accusing Stephen Pagonis before there was enough evidence or something.
What I'm saying is, listen, just quickly review in your head what you just said and see how much weight in what you just said rests with Tawana Brawley. And this was the point of my commentary yesterday. No woman in the current spate of sexual misbehaviors in Hollywood, no woman has been compelled to prove her case. No woman bears responsibility. As far as the public is concerned, even the media is concerned, they have already decided in each and every case, as it was with the Cosby case, that the accused person is in fact guilty. The person accusing is totally innocent and correct. So this was the point I was making when I titled it "Two Different Ways of Prosecuting Sex Crimes." In the case of Tawana Brawley, an inordinate burden was placed on Tawana Brawley as the victim or alleged victim. I'll even say that. The alleged victim of the crime first had to qualify herself for justice. She had to prove, according to the state attorney general, she had to qualify for justice, which is insane. The intention from the very beginning on the part of the system was never to have this case brought to trial. It was just never going to come to trial. For one thing, because a lead defendant or would-be defendant in the case was the son of a very powerful figure in politics in Dutchess County, and also he was an assistant district attorney. You had a part-time cop who ended up supposedly killing himself. That was the initial ruling, until a second coroner took a look at that and said this was a homicide. And we know why.
Right, that was Harry Chris Jr.
The officer was getting ready to talk. But here's the point. In the examples that I raised, the comparison that I did yesterday, I was trying to get across the point that people were talking, and it was a point to talk, to raise questions in the minds of the public that this is a hoax, this is a lie. When the fact is, if it were a hoax and if it were a lie, it would be easy to prove, relatively easy to prove, if the case had come to trial. But the point was, it was never, ever going to come to trial. Why? Because the preponderance of evidence was so great that a jury would likely have voted Stephen Pagonis and others guilty. And if so, it would have been the first time in the United States, really, that any white man would have been convicted of raping a black female. That was the significance of the case, too. But most importantly, it was a conspiracy among a group of people to absolutely prevent this case from coming to trial. And that was what Tawana Brawley was asking for. That's what Maddox and the legal team was demanding, a trial, so that it could easily be determined who was lying and who was telling the truth.
Right.
Thanks for calling.
I just had a few comments.
But we have to tighten up on time today. We have a lot of people waiting.
This is important.
Go ahead, though.
Well, I think that her rights were violated right from the get-go when they brought a black officer from another county to question her before she had legal support and a present.
Well,
and
they brought the African-American officer in because the first officer they brought in to question her was white. And she freaked out. She literally freaked out in the emergency room when she saw a uniform and saw a white officer there.
Right.
She thought
isn't the point that they shouldn't have been questioning her in the first place until she had an attorney present?
No, because she was a patient, and a patient with at least assessed to have been.
No, she's a victim of a terrorist act.
I mean, we don't need to over-exaggerate here. She was a person who clearly had suffered a traumatic event. And the condition she was brought in immediately triggered on the part of the hospital, a procedure. She was evidently battered and beaten. She was assessed to have been raped. That's the assessment of not one but two doctors. And she needed to be spoken to because it was clear from the initial assessment she was the victim of a very violent crime. So that was automatic. When she saw the officer, the white officer who first came in, she just freaked out, and they thought perhaps they would have better luck with her talking with an African-American. And in fact, when he asked her what happened, she was not speaking at that time. She just scrawled on a notepad, "white cop."
Right.
And that's where this investigation started. All right. Thank you so much, Eve, for calling in today. John from Inglewood, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hello. Good afternoon to you.
I'm hanging in. I know you're hanging in, too, and that's an expression you like.
Yeah, we both are.
I got to tell you, I have a pet peeve. It just doesn't go away.
And what is it?
Every time they have an anniversary about 9-1-1, mm-hmm. it just galls me to no end that there hasn't been an honest investigation as to what happened that day. I have done since then numerous research into it, and it is totally a moron would know that the official story was in fact a bunch of garbage, and it amazes me that we should live in such a cowardice country that we haven't got the courage to stand up to these injustices that happens all the time. And it's just immoral, and we're down on people who take a knee during the national anthem as though they don't have a right to protest obvious injustice that happen all the time. It's just mind-boggling to me, and I don't see it going anywhere but disaster, not just for the United States, but for the entire world, which we influence more than anyone else. And I mean, what's going on with Israel and the way they're treating the Palestinians and us marching in lockstep to continue wars all throughout North Africa, all about money and power and getting in control, and this latest thing that started with George H.W. Bush Sr., the New World Order. It's all falling out as planned. It's rolling out in front of us, and everybody has been kept in the dark by this nonsense news that we get day in and day out that's inconsequential in comparison to everything that goes on these days. That's my
complaint.
But,
John, let me ask you. I agree with you, but at the same time, we have to recognize that this is nothing new. The question I'm going to ask you is, what do you do with the information that you have uncovered, or the beliefs that you now have? Where does it put you? What do you do with this information?
Other than getting a soapbox and standing on the corner preaching, there isn't much I can do. I write letters to the editor, most of which are not published. I'm surprised that I have a high percentage of letters written to the editor that are published. Very few of them are published when it concerns an injustice as large as, let's say, the assassination of JFK and the 9/11 debacle that we have to live with day in and day out. It's just unbelievable to me. If I were a church-going man, I would be on my knees all the time praying, but I'm not. And I know one thing, if I tried to organize and I did make any inroads into that, they would crush me like a bug. And that's the problem. People are
afraid.
No question
about that. But I'm trying to get you to see that you actually have gone a step further than most people would, which is to actually dig into the information to get an understanding, a deeper understanding of how this system or these systems work. And you are clearly arriving at some salient truths.
And I summed it up in 55 seconds. Can I lay it on you?
Sure.
The weather's so clear that beautiful day, yet no one dare see beyond what they say. The charges all set with little regret, the planes just attacked to cover their tracks. Most treacherous of crimes betrayed from behind, most egregious of sins betrayed from within. The grave in the ground holds Flight 93. Though strange as it seems, no bodies are found. The Pentagon flashed a huge fireball, but still haven't seen a plane as its cause. The crime scene's all swept with no protocol, the proof all the way except DNA. And so in the end, the culprits are free to fill carpet bags and take liberties. Have no one to blame except for ourselves by turning our backs, conspirators all. And we all know who the culprits are. They're the ones that have the FU money and have all of their accounts offshore and have their runaway places to go to in the Caribbean and South America and special places throughout the world. That's the way I see it.
Well, thank you. And that's the way many people see it. Thanks
a
lot.
You have a good day. Gwen, you keep hanging in there.
I will. Thank you. Gwen from Manhattan, you're on the air.
Hi, Yatrice. I wanted to make a comment about the first man who spoke, but I really also wanted to talk about a different issue. So just quickly, I wanted to say that I was living in New York when the Tawana Brawley case happened, and I have to say that there are very, very few women that come forward with a story like that where it's not true. I mean, no one puts themselves in a situation like that just because they want to play a hoax or a trick. There was nothing in it for this girl to gain except for utter and total humiliation. She went up against the biggest, force, and that's the cops. In America, I think that's I think there's huge force. I want to tell you that when I started driving, my mother, who's now 91, told me, if you ever get stopped at night, never open your window for a policeman. Only put your license through a crack or show them through the window. Do not ever open your car to any policeman. And I'm not blanket saying that all policemen are like that, but we certainly know they wield a lot of power, and there's many, many hundreds of thousands of rapes, I'm sure, that are committed by policemen on a regular basis. And just now we're seeing some teeny little bit of justice, and that's only because the people at the tops, the heads are rolling at the tops. So people, I think more people are coming forward. I actually think that it would be wonderful if Tawana Brawley would come and speak her story again at this time. I think that at the very least, she deserves to be listened to, and I think the public is in a different mode right now. But I don't understand how people would think that any person in the normal mind would come up and put themselves into that kind of vulnerable position and just do it for kicks. It just doesn't happen like that. I also wanted to move right ahead and just say this. I have been listening to Progressive Radio Network. I've been listening to Seth Fetzer, the conspiracy guy, just recently. And, you know, he makes some really great points, but he talked about a woman who has a YouTube station, and she's called the Sane Progressive. And she makes a lot of really interesting points regarding these shootings and these mass shootings as of recently. And I, too, find it very hard to believe that these things are happening the way they say they are, because I just don't see the evidence of what they're saying happened. And one of the things in particular that came that stood out to me the other day with the church shooting was that when the woman spoke about her daughter, her daughter was killed. Her husband, who was a minister, was out of town, and she didn't have she spoke matter-of-factly about it with no tears in her eyes, no welling up, no choking. And talked about how the daughter was just happy that she was with her church fellowship when she was gunned down. And I thought, that's a very strange way for a mother to react, having a child killed. As a matter of fact, I remember just a couple weeks ago, a boy was killed in New York, and they interviewed the father. And this man, although not crying, was so choked up, he had to keep stopping. He couldn't keep going. Now, I realize that everyone has a different level of how they're going to let their emotions come through. But this tone is the tone that carried out through the interviews. I didn't see anybody crying when they were talking about the people that were killed. And it's my understanding that there are no bullet holes in the wall of the building that was shot up with 400 rounds of ammunition. There's no blood on the walls. And although there were ambulances there that day, you know, we didn't see any injured victims coming out. And
I'm hearing a conspiracy theory right now.
Well, I'm sorry, but to me, it is. And I think that if we think that things like this don't happen, that we will continue to be victims of them. I think that
I'm reacting to what you said so far. Number one, mm-hmm. The tapes that have been retrieved from the church show that he methodically walked pew by pew and mm-hmm. pumped bullets into the heads of
the
individuals that he wanted to kill. So,
have you seen the tapes?
I'm sorry?
Have you seen the tapes? You've heard of tapes, but have you seen the tapes?
No, nobody's seen the tapes because it's so gruesome. It's so awful.
Okay. Well, you know, we showed the tapes of Gaddafi getting sodomized and bloodied by people doing it at the time. We showed it on ABC TV. We also showed the children of Saddam Hussein killed.
We know the difference. I think we know the difference between the two and how the media would tend to behave as being in service of the dark side, saying, well, this is permissible. It's what happened in the Brawley case again. They actually went into her house where she was on a couch just trying to get some sleep. I mean, the kinds of things that people do and get away with. So I'm inclined to believe that the what you perceive as a lack of emotion, the way that a mother would react. We don't know how a mother would react.
That's
we know
very
sometimes
true,
people
except for
are still
all of the
shock.
Cases, the people are reacting the same. I'm not saying that in an isolated case a woman wouldn't react like this. I'm telling you that what's interesting to me as I watch all the cases of all these shootings is that everyone is reacting with the same emotional height, which isn't too much. I find that
but
strange.
People are
all of them?
In shock. They're shocked.
Okay.
They're
well,
in shock. They something dreadful has just happened, and mm-hmm. their whole universe has just been scrambled. They don't even know, you know, what else to say, where to reach for any kind of emotion. They're without emotion at the time, many times when these things happen and people come upon them for an interview. You know, their brains are someplace else.
Well, you know, I agree with you on that, but I want to say, as far as, you know, I the jury, is, in my mind, first of all, is not out. I mean, not in. I have not concluded one way or another whether there is a conspiracy going on. However, I'm watching these cases very carefully because it seems to be methodical. They just keep happening over and over again, and there are similarities that keep happening over and over again. And there's inconsistencies when you look at the places where these events, these crimes have happened, and they keep showing up in each one. And that, and at this time where this world is so unbelievably dangerous and crazy, and you have about 350 billionaires who are running not the United States, but the whole planet, that it seems to me that we should just be not going along like cattle and herd and not questioning things. I'm pretty sure when they were taking the Jews away in those cars that there was many people that told you that there was no such thing as people being executed en masse in those camps. I'm pretty sure that was the tone at the time. And I'm pretty sure that, you know, this idea of the bigger the lie, the easier the people believe it. I think that that's true. And I do think that if we're really going to engage in our society, that things like this, I mean, if they are hoaxes or false flags, don't you think that we should, you know, be paying attention to it? Because there's other things behind these events.
Yes,
not
but
just
pay attention
going in and
to
saying
it, but
that 27
let,
people died.
Let,
there's a reason why they're saying it.
Pay attention to it, but, you know, just don't let it run away with you.
It hasn't
just
run
wait
away
and
with
see
me, but it's been years
develops.
Since 9/11 happened. It's been 17 years since 9/11 happened, and these things keep going on. So after 17 years of looking and accepting, I have evolved into at least listening to what some other people are coming up with and then looking for myself, because I do trust my own instincts. I'm not crazy, and
well,
I don't just
good.
Jump the gun.
I'm just saying... Be measured.
I believe I'm being measured, but I'm putting it out to an audience. I want to put it out to this audience because this is an audience where I think that people will listen, at least take a look at the facts. You couldn't, but it's not just this audience, by the way.
We don't know what the facts are. This is the point I'm making. We
right.
Don't
well, we
know
do know. We know what some of the facts are, and some of the facts are this, is that they are telling you a lot of things that happen. And that you have not seen or witnessed yourself. You just have to take their word for it. And that's a problem. And there
well,
are some news that's
some
horrible
point,
and horrific that we can
some
show,
point,
and some news that we can't. Why not?
But at some point, you're going to have to make some kind of accommodation with a reality that you can't be everywhere and you can't know everything about something.
Yes.
Sometimes you just have to wait.
And that's true.
Like,
but we've been
the situation
we've been waiting
in Las Vegas, you just have to wait and see what else emerges as you
until the next one happens. You know, it was only a month and a half ago that Las Vegas happened, and now this one has happened. So
precisely.
We don't, these things are coming up pretty rapidly now.
Don't get a trigger. Just don't let it trigger a kind of, what should I say, an incomplete reaction. Get
well, I certainly don't feel like
possible.
I have an incomplete reaction. I feel that my reaction is very sane. And the sanity of it is questioning, why are these events over and over again happening? Especially given the idea that 9/11 did happen, 4,000 people did die, and there was nothing except for dust down there, dust of human bodies. No whole human bodies were taken out. There were dust of bodies. And I know that because I work with the firemen very closely after it. And
but
so
we
all accepted that.
We don't want to recreate.
I do.
The discussion.
I do.
Hold on. I do want to get a little word in edgewise.
Okay.
We are accustomed to being lied to, and every system all over the world would lie. In the old ancient days, they called it the noble lie, that the state would lie in order to accomplish a greater good and not to frighten the citizens, because we can't cope with these things. Our minds are not built to cope with complex things. So we rely on the state, and the state lies. We know this. But at the same time, in the course of feeling comfortable with our own views, many times we use the information, the incomplete information, which we ourselves did not generate. So we still have to rely on somebody's information and make a judgment call about whether you choose to believe information coming from source A or you choose to believe information coming from source B. And then you put together, you make your own version of the facts. All I'm saying is, let's just wait for a minute, because there may be more than meets the eye so far. This thing just happened on Sunday.
Well, that is for sure there is more than meets the eye. That is for sure there is. I believe that.
But I also
want to say, when it comes to looking at things in my eyes, I have been looking at film. I've been looking at the facts that they have put out, not the facts that they're going to put out, but just what they have put out already, and the similarities in the cases.
I'm going to say to you, you haven't, neither, no one yet. I would say this with fair certainty, that no one yet knows all the facts. So
no one knows all the facts, but I do think that with the climate in our country being what it is, that we're at a whole different place than what we used to be. And I think that we are going into some places that are be pretty rough, and that they're tied into other things that are going on in the world. For example, the coup that has just happened in Saudi Arabia. I mean, I think that these things will all eventually. I think what's happening with our planet, it's it gets smaller. It's not getting bigger. It's not as big as it used to be because of the information age. And I think that these very, very wealthy people are finding ways to consolidate their power. And I think that, you know, what we always need to remember is that there are 350 people that are billionaires in the world that are running the show, but there are also millions of us. Millions and millions of us, and that we ought to not allow this train to keep going the way it is, because to me we're just like sheep being herded from one side of the road to the other side of the road, and we can analyze the situation, we can continue to pull these things out and show these things, but one thing to me is that's missing is taking action. And, you know, we've analyzed racism.
I agree with you to a certain degree. I'm saying only that what you said, you know, we have to take action. I mean, what action are you going to take with respect to this mass killing in Texas, in the Texas church? What is the action? We cannot react, you know, in a knee-jerk fashion. We have to really understand. If we really do understand and appreciate the power of the system that we're up against,
yes.
And the absolute necessity of, let me speak a minute, and the absolute necessity for us not just to act willy-nilly, it's like giving a soldier a gun and he doesn't know who the enemy is. So you have to, there's a method that we at some point will have to come to terms with, which is, when do we act? what do we act in, for? What is the goal? We aren't there yet.
Well, I think by the time we get there, we'll probably all be dead.
React. You know, we can't react just like that. Again, this happened on Sunday. The salient facts that we need to make an intelligent choice about what really happened there from our point of view, which is putting facts together. The Las Vegas massacre, we still don't know what happened there. We still have no idea what happened there, because there are big pieces of information that would help us make sense of it that still are not in place. We don't have that information. So we have to be a bit patient, observe keenly what is going on, and then we arrive at some kind of decision. Thanks so much for calling, Gwen. Leona from Michigan, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, Leona, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you, Yatrice. Listen, I wanted to thank you very much for what you do and what you share with us, who you are, what you've done, and what you're going to do to help produce justice on this planet so we can have some peace. Now, I didn't get a chance to call in another time, but I wanted to thank you for pointing out the differences and the contrast between asymmetric warfare versus symmetric warfare. That was a concept that wasn't on my radar until I heard you talk about it. And then it made sense to me. Logically, it made sense to me. And like others, I too heard Mr. Ortel make a comment about, in the context of Al Sharpton and Steve Begonis, and my antenna went up too, like, huh, what? Because I know that the Steve Begonis name is associated with that, with the horrific Tawana Brawley case. And I did not know until today that you were instrumental in breaking that case. I thank you for that, too.
You're welcome.
Yes, ma'am. The other thing is, I was not able to find the archived copy of yesterday's show for November 9th where you were discussing this case. I haven't found it on the PRN archives or the Lee Stories Podbean yet. And
well, that's unusual. I'll check on that. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. And I guess the last thing I want to say is, I appreciate the other thing I appreciate. You have the patience of Job, maybe not Job, but somebody, which is why I guess you're a great talk show host and I am not. So
look,
this
is a learning
that.
Experience for me. I love it, you know, because people instruct me. All
yes,
you have
ma'am.
To do is listen very, very hard.
You
learn a lot. That's been my experience. Just listen a lot. Listen real hard, and you learn
yes,
something.
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And your blood pressure doesn't go up and nothing like that, I guess.
No, you can't let that happen.
Okay, yes, ma'am. Very good. Well, I will definitely take more steps to listen more and talk less. Yes, ma'am.
Leona, you may want to, and this is one of the reasons that yesterday's program might be useful. We talked about education and the future of public education under Betsy DeVos, and Michigan was ground zero for what
yes,
is about
ma'am.
To happen nationally in public education. So you want to get a copy of that, because my guest Thomas Petroni was excellent, as he always is. He studies this. He studies inequality in education. And as I said, ground zero is Michigan.
Ground zero is Michigan. Yes, ma'am. And you know, the other thing, former governor of Michigan, John Engler, is back in the game, too. I think he's partnering with Betsy DeVos to implement whatever plan they got in the works. But yes, Michigan indeed is ground zero, and the former governor of Michigan, John Engler, is back at back.
Yes, that was mentioned yesterday, too. But take a listen, because it's a really important it's a really important alarm to heed that the,
yes, ma'am,
since, of course, your fellow Michigander, Betsy DeVos, has some interesting ideas about what should, what public education should be. So
yes,
that was discussed yesterday.
Okay,
thanks
well,
for calling.
I'll definitely look for the show. Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
I have some things to talk about that haven't been brought up yet and a different perspective. Number one, very important information about that Tawana Brawley case. No one mentioned, I've been listening the last couple of days, about the disappearance of the evidence, the situation in hospitals. When they have a rape victim, they have a protocol that includes something like a rape kit. Now, what happened to the rape kit? It disappeared.
Well, it never reached the FBI. Stephen Pagonis had sent a person who was in the fire department to go to retrieve the rape kit, which was supposed to have been sent to the FBI. It never got there.
You got it. I spoke to Alton Maddox about it, and he confirmed what you're saying. In other words, key evidence was disappeared by the authorities on that case. Now, you know, that's a major, major item of evidence, and that should have been preserved like gold. But they found a way to make it disappear. The other thing I want to talk about is this proliferation of these sexual assault cases, the flood of people coming in to say that they were assaulted by various authorities. Now, it's my knowledge that many people in positions of power, like producers and celebrities of all types, they have floods of women chasing after them to, in one way or another, to be their girlfriends and whatnot. Even sometimes people who are not celebrities, if they are attractive enough, they'll have keep people coming after them. So I'm thinking that it would make really good sense to understand that some people are willing to do certain things to get close to some body of power, a celebrity that can help them in some way. And this is never mentioned. I haven't heard anything in the media that suggests that this occurs. And I know for a fact that happens all the time. And the next part of this is, it's not unusual for people in the authority like police to go and rape women. And as you, if you remember my book, Playing the Game, I had a family member where the police attempted to rape this person, and the only thing that saved her was to tell the policeman she had a venereal disease, and then he backed off. So, you know, this is not strange that law enforcement people use the authority to do this type of thing to women or men. Going from there, I want to go to the education piece. That was a wonderful education piece you had yesterday with your guest. And, you know, he brought out some good points. And the points I want to bring out, there's an absolute correlation between the economic condition of the child, his family, and his social conditions that they, adverse social conditions that they suffer, that is important in how well they do in school. But under this neoliberal policy, they never, ever talk about those things. They always need the scapegoat, which is to blame the teachers. They blame the teachers. They have these terms that they drum into people's mind about failing schools and bad teachers. Failing school, they drum it into your mind over and over again. And for the most part, that is not the problem. The problem is the inequality, the economic condition of the family, the social conditions, the health of the children, the absentee problem with children who are in crisis, the homelessness, and all the other factors, all other social factors that affect children in school. So when a child is suffering from the social and economic negative factors that he has to live with every day, you don't expect him to be at the top of his game when it comes to school. And if that's not to say that poor people can't learn and excel. Many do. But the point is, they don't want to deal with the real important part, which is the social conditions and the economic conditions of the people, children in these schools, and that's often the reason why those children are not doing that well on their studies. So I think that is where the emphasis should be, and we have to understand that the game plan of the neoliberals is to privatize everything that's public and privatize it for private benefit, you see. So that's what we have. They want to get away with the public schools, close them down, and turn them over to private operators for private profit. That's what they want to do.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling in today. Ali from New York, you're on the air.
How are you, Therese? How are you doing today?
Okay, hanging in. How about you?
Yeah, the same as you, hanging in. And I just wanted to say hello to all the listeners today. And I have two comments. One, I just wanted to, and this is my own opinion when I get a comment about Charles Hotel, okay? But I just wanted to say to Eve from New Jersey, because he's the one who have brought up that thing with Tawan Brawley. The first of all, just because people are not found guilty, that don't necessarily mean that they're not guilty. And I'm going to have to tell you some cases. One of the two of those cases are right now Harvey Weinstein. When that woman accused him and she had those wires and it was proven, he was never brought into court. So that doesn't necessarily mean that he was not guilty or what that woman, that model, Italian-Filipino model, did. Also, it's the same thing with the Trump kids. Just because they didn't have a case in court, that necessarily means that they weren't guilty because the proof was there and Cy Vance decided not to prosecute them because of money. So, and also, we see a lot of cops out there and we have video of these cops killing people. And just because they have been found not guilty, not necessarily means that they're not guilty. So this is what I have to say to Eve about that case. Even though most of the people, especially in the city, black and white, Latinos, they always have said that she was lying. But, you know, that case, it's like you said and you explained yesterday, the case was never went to court. And another thing about that case, that Eve said, if it's 50-50, that is a good case to go to court because there has to be some evidence for that case. So that's what I have to say on that. About Mr. Hotel, which I have a very hard time now listening to him when you have him on. I'm going to go back to what he said. I think it was this week that you had him. He went to say that Mr. Trump should complete his term because that is bad for democracy. I think that's the word that he used. Maybe I will have to go back and listen, but he said that Mr. Trump should complete his term. And why? Because it's bad for democracy. So you know what that means? That this country is exceptional, because that is not what the United States have done around the world. So he talks about this country because it's exceptional. But when this government has gone to other countries and taken elected official, elected by their citizen that they don't like, they take them down. And I could go on. I mean, you just have to listen. You just have to read and see what country. And the one of the latest one was Honduras. And that they have been elected by the citizen. But because this country, they don't like it, they take them down. So I don't know what Mr. O'Carroll is talking about. Then I saw
I think he was referring to the fact that, yeah. I mean, it's still, even though Trump's administration is totally chaotic, and even though he is as odious as they come, I mean, this man is just lacking every single social grace that you could think of, we still have to respect a process. For example, and I pointed it out, the Congressional Black Caucus and the Democrats have been talking about impeaching him. Okay, but that's not done simply because you get up and say impeach him. There has to be a process. And now we find that even the leader of the Democratic congressional folk, Nancy Pelosi, is advising to step off. Don't call for his impeachment. So they don't even know what they're doing. They have all these different conflicting approaches. What he was referring to was observe the process. Observe the process. And simply because he really, this is Trump now, he really, really is asking for people and begging people to go outside the law to get him out of office, that we can't sink to that level. We still have to have some kind of process that we observe, and we just can't willy-nilly say, well, let's get rid of him. We don't like him. The fact is he was duly elected. And until it is proven, this is my point, until it is proven beyond the shadow of a doubt that there are major and massive illegalities that had occurred here, which was my point about Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and that foundation and a lot of other things, we're not in a position to just go in, storm the White House and drag him out and beat him in the public square. We can't do that. So the question now is, how do we make use? How do these legislators like Maxine Waters, leading the chant of impeach 45? I played for you a speech by Representative Al Green of Texas. For the second time, he went on the floor building a case of all the reasons why Donald Trump should be removed according to procedure. And what did I say? He was a very lonely man. He's talking about all these reasons, and you look around and you don't see members of the caucus standing with him as he reads off and itemizes all the infractions and all the reasons that should build a case for impeachment. That's what he's doing. This is how we have to reconcile, because at some point we can't allow ourselves to sink to the level that this administration, you see how many crooks there are. We can't really begin to behave like them. There has to be a process.
Yes, but you three, that is the point. Yes, we can't do that because there has to be a process. But my point is that what process the United States government has used to bring government down? One of them is actually the Russia and Ukraine.
We do not disagree at all. I agree with you 100% on that. But that had been in place long before Donald Trump got to office.
I know, but that's my point. That Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm done. I'm saying that that was standing procedure. All these invasions of all these different countries, the wars that were started, the shepherding of massive arms to destabilize other countries and to begin internal warfare there. We know this. This is a track record. It's no different under Trump than it was under Barack Obama.
Last thing that I had to tell you about him, I saw Mr. Otell on RT in a very short interview saying that this country is not a racist country. and I have to tell you, when I heard him saying that, I have listened to him on your interview, but now I completely lose it. It's like when he said that he's independent. I'm going to tell you, I'm a registered Democrat, and now I'm being blamed because people like me didn't vote for Hillary. And then on Tuesday, when it was election day in this city, I'm going to tell you something. I went there to say none of the above. That's what I wrote on that ballot.
Perfect.
Okay, so this is what I wanted to say, and that's my own personal opinion.
But at the same time, recognize that, and this is what I'm interested in the knowledge that he has, which is incomparable. He has knowledge of the subject matter that nobody has, including law enforcement. And so I value that. And I want to be able to present it to the audience so that you have a unique vantage point on the story, because I'm telling you, it's not going to be too long. This thing is going to burst wide open, and we will have the inside scoop on it. Thanks, Ali, for calling. And that brings us to the end of our program today. Thank you for your very considered opinions about these subjects. And I so look forward to Fridays to be able to interact, that we can interact with each other. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Alternative Visions with Dr. Jack Rasmus. Always you can depend on learning something new from Dr. Jack. You can reach me at Lead Stories, LEID, stories, plural, at gmail.com. Have yourselves a great weekend. We see each other Monday. Bye-bye.